Stephen Colbert joked about the primaries and said the results are in and America has upheld its proud tradition of not knowing who won. One person who did not win is Madison Cawthorn. Seth Meyers said, hopefully he'll learn his lesson. Next time you get invited to a cocaine orgy, just go. Seth was also cracking jokes at the NBC upfront. Seth said, we're joined today by the talented cast of Peacock's Bel Air, a gritty dramatic reimagining of The Fresh Prince of Bel Air. We were also treated this year to a gritty drama reimagining of Will Smith. Jimmy Kimmel has COVID, so his show was hosted by John Mulaney and Andy Samberg. Mulaney said, that's showbiz, bro. One day you don't have to do anything, then you get a text and you have to do something. Samberg said, that's right, Jimmy has contracted COVID again for the second time in 3 weeks. And we're thinking they should probably change the name of the show to Jimmy Kimmel Alive. That didn't go over so well with the crowd. And he said, it's just a joke. Their wardrobe was entirely made of Jimmy Kimmel Live merchandise. Mulaney joked they no longer fit into their old suits since the whole pandemic and quitting cocaine thing. If you're in Pittsburgh tonight, Steve Byrne hosts a goddamn comedy jam. The Post-Gazette explains, for those unfamiliar with the concept, a goddamn comedy jam involves multiple comedians coming together for a show where they all do stand-up, okay, and then they follow that up by performing one of their favorite songs accompanied by a live band. All right, that's fun. Byrne said, I heard so many comics doing it. When I finally got invited, I knew it was something special. I knew I had to bring the show in particular to Pittsburgh, that's his hometown, because I know it's something folks will go nuts over because I have. He says the jam goes beyond a normal comedy show. You kind of get complacent with this. When you do this show in particular, you get those butterflies in your stomach again. Any opportunity I have to come back to Pittsburgh is always welcome. I love being back. I want to give my children the experience of their formative years being in an environment of being what a parent would want. My folks did that for me. And I would do that for them. Two shows tonight if you're in Pittsburgh, 7:30, 10 o'clock at Library Music Hall. Vanity Fair wrote about the Great George Carlin special, which debuts on HBO tonight at 8 o'clock. Two parts, about 2 hours tonight and 2 more hours tomorrow night. This thing is fantastic. I've been telling you about it. I've seen the entire thing. I love this thing so much. Vanity Fair writes, George Carlin, who died in 2008, still has a lot to say. Take May 2nd. The night of an unprecedented Supreme Court leak, which indicated that after 50 years, Roe v. Wade was on life support. On social media, Carlin started trending as users posted the opening bit from his 1996 HBO special, Back in Town. Back in 1996, Carlin said, they're obsessed with the fetus from conception of 9 months. After that, they don't want to know about you. They don't want to hear from you. No nothing. No neonatal care. No daycare. No Head Start. No school lunch. No food stamps. No welfare. No nothing. If you're preborn, you're fine. If you're preschool, you're effed. Kelly Carlin said, any topic that comes up that he had a pretty sharp opinion about, I'll get people tagging me with it on Twitter for sure. It happens all the time. Sometimes I'm like, enough is enough. I think I've seen these videos, but thank you. I've seen every one of my dad's specials, so of course I know his routines. I think people just do that. It's very sweet. They're trying to connect with me, connect him through me, which is important to them. That was one of those things that 2 years ago, Judd Apatow and I talked about. It's about how relevant he still is. So the special is really fantastic. I loved the archival clips. It's not just the same old stuff that you've seen. Now, a couple things you've seen. There's a bit of his famous stuff routine in there and some of the later clips you may have seen. But the early stuff, George with different hairstyles, and I don't just mean long hair, short hair. Like at one point, he's got a shag. I had never seen George with that particular haircut. They did a good job putting this together. It's not all just talking heads or nonsense like Lady Gaga showing up for some reason. There's so many documentaries these days that do that. Oh, let's make something about World War II and let's have Lady Gaga talk about the importance of the Allies. Like, just don't do that stuff. And Apatow nailed it here. Some people do appear, but I want you to understand they appear very briefly for, you know, 20 seconds and they're on point and out. It's not just all talking heads. It's mostly Carlin clips. But some of the people who appear in this thing, Chris Rock, Jerry Seinfeld, Patton Oswalt, Colbert, Bill Burr, Bette Midler, who at first I was like, what? Bette's story is amazing. Don't want to spoil it. Watch it yourself. W. Kamau Bell, Sam J., Judy Gold, and Jon Stewart among the talking heads in the project. Again, this is on HBO tonight and tomorrow at 8 o'clock. I'm going to take the break here. When I come back, I'll share my interview with Kelly Carlin. Kelly Carlin is George Carlin's only daughter. I've known Kelly for, it might be 15 years now at this point. We worked together when we were putting together the Carlin's Corner radio station for Sirius XM. We've always hit it off, and she was kind enough to give me quite some time last Friday, so I recorded this then. Again, George Carlin's American Dream on HBO tonight. I cannot recommend this enough. I hope I have made that clear. I think I did. Here's Kelly.
First thing, I want to thank you. Last time I saw you was at the George Carlin Way dedication, and that was a time when I was out of work. And as you know, in this business, there are a lot of people who will not return your calls when you can't do anything for them. So yes. I just want to thank you. That meant a lot to me. It was a great day. It really meant a lot to me. So thank you so much for that.
John, you are someone who means a lot to me because you gave me a shot and not everyone takes me seriously in that way. So I have such respect for you and it's about treating people decently. If my dad taught me anything, it's that.
I also wanted to, I'm sorry to hear about Uncle Patrick, and I'm glad that he's in the documentary. When he showed up in that, I just had the biggest smile. He was up at the station. I'm just catching up the audience. When we did Carlin's Corner, he did a lot of sessions there. I was trying to remember why he was up. And then I was like, oh yeah, we did all those stories. And he was just so much fun to be around and one of those old time New Yorkers that I don't think exist anymore. So sorry to hear of his passing, but I'm excited that people will get to see what he was like.
I agree. He steals the show. He's amazing in it. It just breaks my heart that he's not here to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then my third thing on my preambles is I want to apologize to the entire Carlin dynasty. I was one of those yahoos at the turn of the century who listened to the last two albums. It's like, George sounds angry. And I have done a complete 180 on that. And he is the great prof of the 21st century. That stuff has aged so well. I go back and listen to it just prepping for today. I was going back and listening to It's the Last Bit on It's Bad for You. It's Coast to Coast Emergency. And it sounds like you recorded it this morning.
Yeah, no one wanted to hear it, including me, John. I was like, God, Dad, get over it. Can you do some fart jokes or something? Please be goofy again. As he said, you scratch a cynic and underneath it, you get a brokenhearted idealist. He was a man who I think was just ringing the bell so loudly and saw what was coming, saw the writing on the wall. And nobody wants to hear that while the walls still look fine to us. So everything seems fine. Boy, did he see it all coming. Even stuff 30 years old, he saw it coming. It's amazing.
Do you think, speaking of things 30 years old, do you think some idiot will find some joke from 1974 and try and cancel him? Because that's what we do
oh,
now.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Oh, yeah. In fact, in the West Side Story joke in the documentary, and he talks about, I thought these were going to be a bunch of tough guys, and then he does this, hey guys, let's go dance or something. He does the gay voice. I'm like, oh my God, the gay voice. You can't do that anymore. Can't do the gay voice as a white male. No, when he certainly said the N-word a few times on stage as a point, as a thing to do. But yeah, of course, it's just the battle is endless on Twitter. Today, I had a bunch of people telling me that only they hate all the woke people supporting my dad and how dare they because he would have hated them. And I'm like, yeah, but he was progressive. He didn't like wokeism or whatever you want to call it these days, but he believed in raising and helping people who've been oppressed and genocide and enslaved. He believed in helping these people have an equal chance at things. Like he believed in that part. So it's so strange, John, just to watch everyone wanting their culture wars and just wiping it all over him.
I found it really interesting reading the Times article the other day, the quotes that you gave about not really wanting to be I'm paraphrasing here, the George interpreter, you know, what George meant and just staying out of it. Personally, yeah. I think you're right. Like, how would you do that?
Yeah. And like this morning, someone came after me on my Twitter feed because of this documentary and all this stuff. I suddenly have 20,000 new freaking followers. And so it's it becomes very weird when that happens. But someone came after me and she was like, my followers, they think this about your dad and you're woke and everything. And it's every once in a while, I just have to take a stand, but I try to do it in a very neutral way if someone comes after me like that. But generally, no. In 2008, when Facebook started, I was like, oh, I'll just make sure that everyone understands him correctly. And it was like, what the hell are you doing, Kelly? You got to go live your own freaking life. But yeah, you can't do that. It's not my job. People are always going to project their own confirmation bias onto other people. And the fact is that, you know, what his disgust with political correctness and with liberalism on some level had nothing to do with being a right-wing person. It had to do with this disdain towards what some people call safetyism. you know, that everyone has to be cushioned and we can't hear anything that's bad, any bad words, or we have to helicopter parent, like all of that kind of stuff. You came from a generation where it's the street's going to toughen you up a little bit and life is tough. You can't be protected 24/7. And I think that's the angle really that was important to him. But the left doesn't talk about it that way. And the right also has an issue with that. And rightly, he gets put into these categories, but he was a man beyond categories. I really believe that.
The doc is amazing. We should probably talk about the doc at one point, but I want to connect with you here. You're out front in this one, both in terms of the publicity and in the actual doc. Everyone's looking at you. Like you said, you got all these new followers.
Yeah, no, from day one, I was out there, Mark Twain Prize, Emmys, Grammys. I've been his face in the press. Every little, when we do have an album come out or a box set, the National Comedy Center stuff, I took the lead on that. That was my decision to do that. And certainly we get bombarded all the time with offers for things. And thank God my dad's manager is still alive and he helped me navigate that stuff, Jerry Hamza. He's in the documentary also, but we knew a documentary was coming and we'd had a lot of offers over the years. And then there were some things that were in the way for a while. And then the right people showed up and the right moments started happening. And I knew I would be an executive producer on this project. I know the narrative very well after writing my book, after doing my solo show, after talking about it for 13 years. I am the face of this and I don't mind that role. It's not who I am. It's not only who I am, but I will always be my father's daughter. I will always take care of his legacy as long as I'm alive. And that's about 5% of my life.
So watching the doc, I'm blown away. It's right there. I think the recent Beatles doc got some good press. And I'm watching this thing and I'm like, this is right there with this. I can't get enough of it. The clips, it's not the same old clips or just highlights from HBO specials. It's deep stuff. I saw George with some haircuts I had never seen before. I'm used to just seeing clean cut George, bearded George, but I hadn't seen shag George.
Yes, I call those the Peter Sellers years.
Oh, okay. So the clips are amazing. And then the arc... For the second I hit play on it, the music production, the music choices, I'm a bit of a production snob. And I'm like, they nailed this. This just has the right feel right out of the box. I think in worse hands, this turns into random celebrities. I don't want to dump on any particular. Here's some random guitarist going, George Carlin. You know how a lot of those specials go. It's got the right people in it, the right clips, the archival, the story beats with you and your mother. And I don't want to ruin it for the audience, but where we leave the cliffhanger at the end of part one, I was just like, whoa, just right. I need more of this. It's so good.
Yeah. So when Judd came on board, I had a couple of things that I said have to happen. One of which, I do not want a cavalcade of comedians talking about my father. You can have some comedians, but I do not want this to be a talking heads documentary. We've just had about 50 of those in the last 5 years. And it's the last thing I wanted. I don't want it to be an A&E biob, a gentle kind of a thing. I want it to be something where you learn why this man ticks this way and what are the forces of his life and the events of his life that shaped his choices and how did he end up being this guy? And I knew Judd was the right guy for a lot of reasons. And Mike Bonfiglio, the co-director, is an incredible interviewer, an incredible producer of narrative. But I knew Judd was the right guy because Judd understands story. And he understands emotions. He's got a high emotional intelligence. You watch any of his films, it's always about heart. And I knew he would get it. And he did. And then you add the layers with the editor and the music supervisor and all of this stuff. It is, I'd not seen the finished product. I saw it finally Wednesday night. I'd seen a rough cut. I'd seen a fine cut. But like you, when that music started at the beginning, I was like, oh, we're going on a ride. Here we go.
It's so good. I don't want us to sit here and just gush, but you have to be so proud and so happy. Like this just like it nails it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thrilled because I wanted it to be one and done, John. One and done. We don't have to do it again. We don't have to do another. No one, someone is going to come. Oh, we want to do this. And it's no, we're not interested. We don't need to. It's been done. It's covered. We've got it handled.
It's really fantastic. Anything else you want to hit? I know you've done 500 of these and I don't want to keep you too long.
One thing I would love to say is just put a plug in for this beautiful nonprofit called the National Comedy Center. If you want to see more of George's stuff after you watch the documentary and you want a deeper, even deeper dive into his actual stuff, come up to Jamestown. This place is amazing, first of all, for the art of comedy. But my dad has the only permanent exhibit as for one of the comedic artists. And you get to drill down into his handwritten notes and all of his memorabilia. And at the same time, you get to go and adventure in all sorts of other comedy art forms. And you will laugh your ass off for 2, 3, 5 hours, however long you're there. And it's one of the best ways to spend a day. So if you're a real George Carlin freak or a comedy freak or even just a casual comedy fan, I just want to put the word out there for them because they've done a great job with my dad's legacy. They do a great job every year putting on a great festival. And I just love and adore the people of Jamestown, New York.
I don't want to use the word stuff because that's hacky, but where were the belongings before you donated them?
They are stuff because they are George Carlin stuff. They were in my garage. First, they were in a storage unit right after my dad died. And then we consolidated it all. But my dad saved and had about 7 large steamer trunks of his stuff. And he had organized it all and put it in all manila envelopes and everything. And then I donated about 90% of it about 6 years ago. The center opened about 4 years ago. And what they did is they digitized everything. I don't remember how many tens of thousands of items that they actually digitized. And so when you're in his permanent exhibit, there are these steamer trunks there with a kind of an iPad, kind of a screen on it. And you can drill down inside of the trunks yourself to witness and see all the stuff. And they were so impressed with how my dad had kept and archived all of his stuff that they kept his organization intact when they received the stuff. The archivist there is amazing. Her name's Laura LaPlaca. And because it represented his mind and how he organized his thoughts. And they wanted to keep even that as an archival item.
It's so great that it's digitized as this stuff degrades in this way. Someone will have a copy. So that's awesome.
It's digitized. They're keeping it. They're receiving Carl Reiner's archives this year. They're doing stuff with the Johnny Carson estate right now. If you're a fan of comedy the last 100 years, you got to come and experience this place. It's pretty amazing.
No, it's great to keep that stuff out there because you mentioned Carson. That was in my brain in the middle of the night. In my career, I've done stuff with the Carson folks, the Bing Crosby folks, the Bob Hope folks, and at points in their legacy, it became not at all about monetization. It was just like, we need to keep the name out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why the Comedy Center is a nonprofit, because it really is about, they really are an institution dedicated to the art of comedy and really exploring the art form. And there's no other institution like it in the world. And I love the fact that it's a nonprofit. I think that's the way it should be. And I think it really creates a lot of cleanness between the families and all of that around this stuff.
Congrats on the doc. It is so amazing. It was in my head
Thank
all night.
You.
Plus, my brain was rattling thinking about having to do this interview. I woke up this morning, true story, it was about 5:30 in the morning, and the 7 words were in my head, and I couldn't remember one of them, and it was cocksucker.
That's so funny. That's awesome.
Cool. I appreciate you doing this.
Oh, John, I so appreciate being here and doing this with you, and it's so good to see your face.
Thank you so much, Kelly Carlin. George Carlin's American Dream, HBO tonight and tomorrow, 8 o'clock. One more comedy item from Vancouver is awesome. There's a show for dogs tonight. Now, here's the setup. Remember Johnny Rotten from the Sex Pistols? His memoir is titled Rotten, No Irish, No Blacks, No Dogs. That is a reference to anti-Irish and racist sentiment that was prevalent in post-war Britain. Signs were posted on doors of venues forbidding people from Black and Irish communities from entering. No dogs was just an insult added to injury. Well, tonight in Vancouver, Irish comedian Amy Walsh is hosting a comedy show at a venue called the MOTN. Her show is called More Irish, More Black, More Dogs. Gotta love it. There will be comedians there, and yes, there will be a dog. More Irish, More Black, More Dogs at the MOTN. 8 o'clock, you should go. Are you in Vancouver? You should go. What else are you doing? Oh, you could watch the Carlin thing. The Carlin thing will be there when you get home. You go to the show, you see the dog, Enjoy the comedy show from 8 to 10. And you get home at like 10:15, 10:30. I don't know where you live. Do you live close to the MOTN? And you put on HBO and you have a great comedy night. And that's your comedy news for today. Follow this show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your shows. If you'd like to support the show, you can become a premium subscriber on Apple Podcasts, $5 a month, ad free early releases, or buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Throw $5 in the tip jar. I'll take your money and I'll go to the National Donuts chain and I'll refill this cup. Normal episodes all weekend. See you tomorrow.